Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Let's listen to about 20 seconds of the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas in Arabic from September 15th, and then I'll translate, announcing that he would petition the United Nations for statehood. That petition is being filed today. Here he was a week ago saying, and it starts with Arabic for, "We are going to the Security Council."
مجرد أن ألقي الكلمة هناك في الجمعية العامة سأقدم رسالة الطلب إلى الأمين العام للأمم المتحدة ليوصل هذا الطلب إلى رئيس مجلس الأمن. فإذا خيارنا هو مجلس الأمن. أما الخيارات الأخرى
نتخذ فيها Youssef Munayyer, Executive Director of the Palestine Center in Washington. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
And the translation that I have in front of me says that President Abbas said there, "We are going to the Security Council. Once I give my speech at the General Assembly, I will submit a request for admission to the Secretary General for passing forward to the head of the Security Council. Therefore, our choice is the Security Council. As for the other decisions, we have not yet decided them yet." Is that what he said? Do you speak Arabic?
Yes.
Yes and yes. Okay. But people should realize these things can take months to reach an actual vote. So it's not like all these nations are gathered at the General Assembly right now. They're going to put in this petition today, and tonight they're all going to get together in the Security Council, and the United States is going to veto it before sundown, right?
Right. Certainly, I mean, if the players on the Security Council want to drag this out, they certainly can. I'm not sure that helps the situation in any way. The news did just come over the wire, though, that the president has said that he's going to be submitting the application with consideration for an immediate decision.
Which puts how much pressure on the U.S. or anyone else on the Security Council to do what when?
Well, the United States has said clearly that they're going to veto this, which obviously creates an immense problem for the United States. I think it's very interesting if you look at sort of the history of American voting behavior on these sorts of things within the United Nations Security Council. It has voted 42 times since 1972 as the only no vote on Security Council resolutions criticizing Israeli violations of international law or human rights. It has been completely comfortable in the past being the single solitary no vote in the face of international condemnation of Israeli wrongs. What's really interesting this time, though, is that we know that the United States is lobbying furiously with other members of the Security Council so that they're not in the position of being the only no vote. And I think that speaks to a great extent to the amount which saying no to Palestinian statehood in front of the entire international community by themselves is a major blow to American credibility in a region where their influence is tremendously waning.
It's interesting to me the frenzied reaction to the idea of the Palestinian statehood position at the United Nations as if it was, let's say, a terrorist attack. Here the U.S. has been telling the Palestinians for years, go through proper channels. And here is a diplomatic move in a legitimate international organization, and people are saying, oh, my God, how can they do this?
Well, we have to remember where this comes from, why the Palestinian leadership decided to go to the UN. They decided to go to the UN because, frankly, they're tired of waiting for America to come around as an even-handed mediator when it hasn't been for the past 20 years of engaging in direct talks with the Israelis based on this idea of two states. You know,
Of course, both sides say that because, you know, American Jews are in large measure frustrated with President Obama because they see him as tilting too much toward the Palestinians.
But in reality, we know that that's not the case, not just in the case of President Obama's administration, but in the previous administrations that have been engaging with Israelis and Palestinians. Look, the Bush administration, one of arguably the most pro-Israel administrations in the history of the United States, put together a roadmap for peace that the Israelis accepted back in 2003, where the first phase obligation that the Israelis accepted was a freeze on settlement expansion. That never happened. And you can't expect the Palestinians to sit down and negotiate over a state that's being devoured in front of their eyes. For there to be a serious atmosphere of negotiations, there has to be a broker that says, when you're violating your obligations, we're going to step in and we're going to sanction you, we're going to pressure you, we're going to put leverage on you so you play by the rules. America is clearly incapable of doing that. And in some senses, that's okay. What's not okay is for the Palestinians to continue engaging in a process while knowing that. And I think that what we see with this UN bid is a Palestinian realization that Washington is not going to be an even-handed broker. It hasn't been, it's not going to be tomorrow, and it's not going to be anytime soon. So to wait for Washington to deliver even-handed brokerage while Israel continues to colonize what little is left of Palestine would be disastrous for the Palestinians. Yeah. And so this has to be a step away from Washington-led negotiations.
Youssef Munayyer, executive director of the Palestine Center in Washington. As he told us, the application just went in with a request for expedited consideration to the UN Security Council for Palestinian statehood. You know, the Israeli side of this is that so many Israelis, even in the peace camp, have lost hope and trust in the Palestinians as a partner for peace, because they say when they pulled out of Lebanon, when they pulled out of Gaza, rockets continued to come across the border. So why should they trust that a Palestinian state based on in the West Bank wouldn't be more of the same, only this time right near Jerusalem?
Well, I mean, any honest observer would know that that's really a more of a propagandistic talking point than anything else. The Israelis never pulled out of Gaza. While they removed settlers or the colonists that they had there, the 8,000 colonists that they had among 1.5 million Palestinians, they still effectively control the daily lives of every Palestinian in Gaza by controlling what gets in Gaza, not permitting anything out of Gaza, regularly bombing and taking up incursions into Gaza.
They say they wanted to get out much more than they actually did, only the continuing attacks across the border led them to decide they had to keep doing that stuff.
I think if you want to look at the history of this situation as something that started in 2005 without putting it in the context of the continued occupation of the Gaza Strip and the West Bank that's been going on since 1967, then yes, that perspective makes sense. The reality, of course, is that that's not the case. The reality is that this did not start with the Israeli withdrawal of colonists in 2005, but that it's been a continued occupation since 1967. And look, the world realizes this. And I think one of the bigger issues being highlighted here is that the Israelis and the Americans continue to stand alone, isolated, as defenders of an occupation that has been going on for 43 years. And part of the strategy here is to expose this hypocrisy before an international court at the United Nations, before the Court of International Opinion. Look, we heard President Obama.
Tell me a little bit more. Tell me a little bit more of that, because that's one of Israel's concerns, certainly, and one thing that keeps coming up in the press coverage of this. If a Palestinian the status would be granted by the Security Council as non-member observer state, keyword state, and that would give Palestine the right as a non-member observer state to file charges against Israel or anyone else at the International Criminal Court. So do you think Israel should be and would be brought before the ICC in that event?
I think Israel has every reason to be concerned about further international isolation, but the only address for blame in that situation is Israel itself. The number one reason for the isolation of Israel in the international community is the continued occupation and colonization of Palestinian territory.
So what's the charge at the ICC, and what would the remedy be? Play this out for us if this actually goes to court.
Well, it's hard to tell if it would ever get to that stage, and it's probably unlikely that it will. But what that scenario does allow for is that you can bring up grievances with the Israelis in an international forum where it won't be stymied by an American veto. You know, the Security Council has seen numerous resolutions condemning Israeli violations of international rights and international law and human rights, only to be met with an American veto. So while the Americans are saying, we want you to be involved in a process with the Israelis that we're going to broker, at the same time, they're unable to do that in an even-handed way. And they're not allowing the Palestinians to redress their grievances in any other forums.
Last thing, on the negotiations, they're not happening now anyway. And as the Washington Post described it today, the Israelis want negotiations with no preconditions. The Palestinians want concessions first on a few things, including a settlement freeze. But why demand concessions before negotiations? Isn't that what negotiations are for?
Look, you concede what you own, not what you occupy. The freezing of settlements and the dismantling of settlements is not an Israeli concession. It's an Israeli obligation. It's even an Israeli obligation that the Israeli government accepted in 2003. So to play a semantic game with it, to say that you know, the Palestinians are asking too much, when in reality the Israelis are continuing to colonize Palestinian territory, usurping Palestinian resources, and then trying to get the entire world to blame the Palestinians for not talking to them while that's going on, is really just pulling the wool over the eyes of everybody who's watching this.
Is it a Palestinian obligation to police its population for arms that are being used in terrorist attacks?
The reality is that the Palestinian Authority has been doing that, so much so that while the American Congress was huffing and puffing this past week about cutting aid to the Palestinian Authority, it was in fact the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs that urged the United States not to cut aid to the Palestinian Authority, because they're relying very much on close security collaboration with the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. So, you know, you can't say that the Palestinians are not meeting their obligations, because they're doing so to the point where the leadership in the West Bank is doing so to the point where it's completely decimated their domestic legitimacy. And no such demands have been made of the Israelis to simply meet their obligations, right, not make concessions.
It's official. The application has gone in for UN recognition of Palestine as a state. Youssef Munayyer is Executive Director of the Palestine Center in Washington. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, new census numbers show the new face of poverty in New York City. Stay with us.